It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two, it's Jones and Keefe. Mego in for Keefe. We'll get to Brad Marchand and a potential reunion with the Bruins in just a moment. But more layers to that Dolphins trade. The Dolphins are sending Jalen Ramsey to the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange for Minkah Fitzpatrick. So a big player-for-player NFL deal. Jalen Ramsey out of the AFC East, Minkah Fitzpatrick into the AFC East. You'll still face Jalen Ramsey early on this season. Is it week 3 off the top of my head when they face Pittsburgh? So you'll still face him this year. Another layer to the trade, though. The Steelers are also dealing tight end Jonnu Smith, former Patriot, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's reunited with Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. I would imagine, Mego, a lot of this has to do with Aaron Rodgers finally deciding he's going to sign in Pittsburgh and ultimately choose a destination. And I'd imagine a lot of these dominoes now, it's not a coincidence, they happen after Rodgers actually officially signs there. They might have been in the works for a long time, but I imagine that's why we're starting to get some of this this information.
Yeah, they're building out something around him. Jonnu Smith is coming off probably the best season of his career. He had over 800 yards last year, almost 900 yards with the Dolphins. I just think after you, it's hard to like ever have a lot of confidence in that guy after you saw him unable to learn the playbook in New England.
He was a monster against the Pats in one of those late season games. I actually think this is, if you want to just localize it in the division for a minute, that might be a sign the Dolphins are looking to get more explosive offensively, because last year it was all checkdowns to Achan and checkdowns to Jonnu Smith, and it was no shots to Tyreek Hill and no shots to Jalen Waddle, who had a brutal year. And I think they were protecting Tua. I think after he got another concussion, I think they said, well, we're going to have him drop back, get the ball out quickly. He's not going to, you know, wait for these big plays to develop, and we're not going to get him killed back there. This might be an indication they're going back to downfield explosive offense, which may not be the best thing for Tua's health, but I do think makes it a little scarier matching up against Miami. But that's a big trade. Ramsey, Fitzpatrick, Jonnu Smith. Like, those are, that's a real, it's not just a player for a pick, which is what I expected it would be. Mm-hmm. You don't see that often in the NFL.
No, it's uncommon, but if you're the Patriots and seeing both these teams, where you stand today and where they stand now, which team is better that you're going up against, the Steelers or the Dolphins?
I like Fitzpatrick a lot.
I almost feel like any other starting quarterback with the Steelers, I would be more confident just having Tomlin there and going, Tomlin's going to take an okay quarterback.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say Miami and Pittsburgh or Miami and the Pats?
No, if you're the Patriots,
yeah,
looking at playing Miami and playing the Steelers, remove the stuff of, oh, I'm playing Miami and, you know, this time of the year and they're coming this time of the year. Just looking at those teams, who's the tougher team to see now?
I would probably, I like Fitzpatrick the best out of that trade. So I guess I would argue.
You think he's that much of a mover?
Miami. Yeah. But I honestly think the Patriots are better than both.
Yeah. But I'm saying, what's the tougher team that you're going up against in the conference?
I think Miami. That's what I think. I think Rodgers is just going to be a big mess in Pittsburgh.
I think Rodgers is going to suck. I think he's going to be terrible.
I think it's going to be the first time Tomlin is below 500. That's been my prediction. I don't think this trade changes that. So you get Miami week 2, you get Pittsburgh week 3. So you're going to be directly impacted by this trade early on in the season. You can discuss, again, it's 617 877-973-7. So that's the news in the NFL. Free agency starts, a little over 24 hours from now, tomorrow, at high noon. Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic tweeted out yesterday, as we wait to see Brad Marchand's decision with Florida, several teams, including Boston and Toronto, hope to talk with him come Tuesday when the market opens, if he doesn't re-sign with the Cup champs. He says the Bruins would certainly be open to bringing him back. So, a couple of things. Number one, who would you choose if you're Marchand, the Bruins or the Leafs?
The Bruins or the Leafs?
Yeah.
I would go with the Leafs.
Okay. So that's to say, I mean, obviously Florida would be at the top of the list.
Yeah. If I were him, I'd want to go back and try to win again.
If they can compete financially, and, you know, they don't have to be the highest offer, but they got to be close, Florida, or I wouldn't take it. But let's say he decides to leave Florida. Boston or Toronto? Toronto, to me, is way more attractive for Brad Marchand. I think he'd be a good fit there, by the way. But I would think if it's between those two teams, like top of the market, if he leaves Florida, I would imagine he'd be choosing to go there, assuming the offers are competitive with one another and it's an actual choice. How likely do you think it is that Marchand could come back, and do you want him back?
Likelihood? I mean, it's got to be something because it's out there. But I feel like it's like 15-20%. Like, I don't feel like it's strong that he's actually coming back here. I almost feel like it's like a mutual respect type thing, or at least they're trying to gain back some mutual respect by saying, like, we do love Marchand. If he's open to it, since he is a free agent, if he wanted to take a real hometown deal and come back here and finish out his career as a Bruin, we'd welcome him back with open arms. That's how I think that they're posing it. I don't think that they should, though. To me, it's just backsliding. I think you made that trade. It was obviously difficult for both sides, and you gave him the out to go to a place where he could win. He went and he won. I just feel like it would be running very contrary to what you're trying to do with your front office right now, whether you trust them or not, which is actually finally rebuild, actually finally start to set a new foundation. I just don't think it makes sense for the philosophy of what you're trying to do.
No. And look, I get why the rumors are out. I bet the Bruins want it out there that they want him back. They may really feel that way. The Bruins may really want him back.
Yeah, if he's going to play for like $5 million a year.
Right. I don't think he's going to want to come back.
No.
And, you know, it'd be a real nightmare for Keith if he came back.
It would be the worst of both worlds for him. He could either go to the Leafs and get paid, and I don't know, maybe they'll do something in the playoffs. Maybe they'll get...
Well, maybe he's the piece that puts him over the top.
Right,
like the text line goes, Jones, Leafs and Bruins, you're picking the Leafs? Bro, what? I think they had the fourth most points in the NHL.
He'd also be going there for his final check.
Yes.
Like, he'd be going there to get paid, or he would go to Florida and take a discount there because he'd want to be part of a three-peat, and it would be like this great historical NHL run.
Right. If he's taking less, he's going to Florida. He's not coming back here.
Why would he come back here? Because he loves his house in Charlestown so much? Like, no offense. I don't think Charlestown is...
It's not that great.
After he's gotten to go live somewhere else, he's also probably like, you know what? It's not that bad picking up my family and moving and going somewhere else for a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, look.
I'm at the end of the career. It's fine.
I enjoy Charlestown, but it's not that great where you're taking discounts to come back to the crummy Bruins. And so, yeah, if he's taking a discount, Florida's the spot. If he's going to the highest bidder, I'd imagine a team like Toronto would be that. And again, the Leafs don't win anything. I wouldn't make it sound like you win a lot of stuff either if you're the Bruins. I mean, you beat the Leafs all the time in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Fair. But Marchand on the other side of that might change it if you were head-to-head.
Do you think Marchand has tried Waverly, though?
Good point.
If he hasn't tried Waverly Kitchen and Bar yet, maybe he wants to come back for that?
Have you been to Prima? And so, yeah, I don't think the Leafs would be crazy at all. I think it would be an easy pick, Toronto over Boston. But you can let me know if you disagree. 617-779-7937. I don't think he wants to come back, by the way. So I think the reporting's pretty simple. I think... The team may want it out there
they're trying to make it look nice.
Thank you. Why would he want to come back? I think he forced his way to Florida, meaning he exercised. They probably didn't want him in the division on the defending cup champions. I don't think the Bruins wanted that in a vacuum. I'm sure they wanted him out west. Probably not with Cassidy, but I'm sure they want the Kings and other teams that were linked to him. I'm sure they wanted him out there, out of their hair, not in their face, and not winning a cup. That's a bad look for the organization top to bottom. So I'm sure they want it out there that, yeah, we'll bring him back. I think he forced his way to Florida, and I don't think he's going to come back on a discount, especially when they wouldn't meet him on what I thought was a very reasonable. I was one of the few who thought this. I'm more of a Marchand apologist, despite what he did to my guy, Keith. You know that, Mego. I didn't think what he was asking for
was a bad deal. And if the Bruins aren't, I'm sure he's going to get that on the open market now. So if they weren't going to offer it then, they're not going to offer it now. I don't think there's any chance the reunion happens. But it wouldn't be the first time I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think it's a fun story. And I think, as we both agree, it's out there for an intention, which is to try to make it look nice. Try to make it be like, we're so happy for Marchand that he won the cup and come back and finish your career as a Bruin for a very steep pay cut because we're actually not that nice. Like, I just don't think it's going to happen. It's a fun story to be out there, but I don't take it seriously.
Here's one that I definitely don't take seriously. It is a rumor about David Pastrnak to the Florida Panthers.
Okay. this is a troll job.
You
this
think
is
so?
Just someone trolling. Yes.
Well, hang on.
What are we talking about?
Let me read it. This is from an individual called Rono Analyst on Twitter. R-O-N-O.
Is that some Gen Z slang that we need to be careful about?
I don't. Yeah, can I not say that?
Like, I don't think Gen Z uses Urban Dictionary, but can we find the Gen Z version of Urban Dictionary and make sure we're not doing something horrible?
Creator of hockey data cards based on analytics. Sorry for my average English. I am Czech.
Okay.
Okay, so this is Rono Analyst. Says confirmed. According to Denik Sport, which I'm going to guess I don't even know what that is.
Is that the one from Denmark?
Czech? That would make sense. Maybe.
Yeah, so we got Czech and Denmark.
Florida has great interest in David Pastrnak. Obviously, okay. The price is very high. However, Bill Zito is a wizard, and Florida has pieces to do that. Pastrnak has a no-movement clause, but it looks like that shouldn't be a problem. Our guy, Scott McLaughlin, at WEEI, who we're going to talk to on Wednesday, quote tweeted that. He said, what are we doing here? He said, is Florida trading away Barkov or Tkachuk? No, then it's not happening.
I have great interest in a single family home in South Boston. The price is also very high. It's not happening.
Yeah, I wouldn't say this is very likely to happen. Would you take calls on Pastrnak, though? Forget about the rumor. Would you take calls on Pastrnak?
I know we're going to get to this later in the show. So, like, I'll just say, I think you got to take calls on everybody. Like, if you're the player and you're the star and your feelings are still hurt at this point in the career that David Pastrnak has had, that they're taking calls on you when you're actively in a rebuild. Like, it's not about you. It's just about making sure that you're kicking every tire and seeing if anyone out there is completely insane. But Florida wouldn't even make sense for what you're trying to do. So I don't put a lot of stock into it.
Yeah, the Florida piece to me also doesn't really add up. Yeah, I take calls on Pastrnak, sure. But I like how Pastrnak played down the stretch last year. You know, I wonder, you know, and this is going back to Keith's reporting on Marchand, which really was a Pastrnak report, by the way. It's that Pastrnak was kind of done with Marchand and his leadership, and I don't think Marchand was the best captain. I don't think that's any secret.
Well, maybe they're now, because of the connection to Florida, Florida is interested in Pastrnak because they know Marchand's coming back to Boston, and those two will not coexist.
There you go. They're like, well, we can't. If Marchand's leaving and he's going back to Boston, Pasta doesn't want to play with him.
Yeah.
Hence, he wants out. We're going to pounce on. Ooh,
there
good,
you go.
Good
there
dot
you
connecting,
go.
Mego.
There you go.
That's pretty good stuff. Yeah. So, look, I don't know what the Bruins are going to do. They have a decent amount of cap space. Despite all the moves they made, I haven't even mentioned this. Billy had it in trending. But they re-signed Morgan Geeky. They brought back Yokoharu. Did I say that right, Nick? They brought him back.
Sure, close enough.
Sure. John Beecher. So, like, a bunch of Geeky's a decent deal.
I like the Geeky deal.
And that would be an indication they're probably keeping Pastrnak, by the way, based on the connection that the two of them have. But they've made a bunch of, I would say, more minor moves. They still have 13-ish million dollars in free agency, which means they could go target a big fish if they want to. They did it a year ago. It did not work. So let's see what the Bruins have up their sleeve. It could be Marchand. It could be something else. But I am curious about that. Start of free agency in the NHL tomorrow at high noon. And you get the start of NBA free agency tonight.
Oh, boy.
At 6 o'clock. I'm not sure the Celtics are going to be doing much, but we'll have to wait till 6 to find out. Brian's in Connecticut. He wants to talk Celtics. Go ahead, Brian.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Brian, hello. He has rumors on the Derek White trade. So we're going to play some audio from Zach Lowe coming up here in a moment. The idea that, well, number one, the Celtics were offered and laughed off the Toronto Raptors for Derek White. Teams are calling about Jaylen Brown and Derek White. You can't totally rule out that another big move is coming for the Celtics. Where do you come down on that line of thinking? Again, taking calls on players, listening to what the market might be out there. To me, the Celtics are already below the second apron. I don't really understand the urgency in getting rid of a piece like White or Jaylen Brown unless you're absolutely blown away. But I don't know. It seems like they're pretty interested in seeing through and finding out what the market is. There's only one reason to do that. That's to get your ducks in a row to make a deal.
Yeah, I think that with Derek White and Jaylen Brown, those are both guys that they see as pieces, not just for next year, but guys that they want around when Jason Tatum comes back from his injury. Because you don't really want somebody like that coming back from that kind of injury and just have, you know, like 11 strangers staring at him and being like, well, this is very comfortable for me to get my confidence back. There is something to that. What environment is Jason Tatum going to be returning to? What coach is he going to be returning to? They say that they want to keep Joe Mazzulla around. Like, keep things pretty normal and help Tatum get back to normal. But if somebody, a dumb team with a franchise, with an owner that you don't think knows what he's doing, comes to you with a Godfather offer and offers you the picks that would be like the Brooklyn Nets back in the day, would be picks that you could immediately turn around, or picks that the rest of the league sees so valuable that you could flip them for guys that better position around Jason Tatum when he comes back, then yeah, of course you pick up the phone, you see what those teams are offering. I just think that realistically, because of the ages and especially the deal that Derek White is on, there's not a lot of other players around the NBA that are going to be better suited for the situation than those two guys. So it would have to be such a mind-boggling, stupid offer from a stupid franchise.
So the comp is, the Desmond Bane trade, the Mikal Bridges trade, like a trade like that, which does not interest me much. I mean, you just made a good point. They could collect all the picks, use those picks to go get another player they feel might fit better.
Do you really want guys, think about like the best situation for something like this was what Danny Ainge did with Pierce and Garnett,
yeah,
and then getting those picks,
yeah,
that turn into Jaylen and Jason. But it still took Jaylen and Jason 7 years, really 5 to 6 years, to the point where they were actually in a place to contend for a championship, and that was the best case scenario. So if you have Jason Tatum out for next year, and then he's coming back the following year, and let's say very best case scenario, he's back to 99% the year after that. Are the picks that you get from that deal going to be guys who are ready to contend for a championship again in Tatum's prime window?
I don't think
like,
so.
Like, you got to sit down and look at yourself, and that's where the Celtics are in a difficult situation, because they're saying, do we have the confidence in Tatum that he's going to come back and be the guy that we want to build everything around? I think that's like the balancing out that they're making with these two guys.
Do you expect tonight to be quiet?
I do.
For the Celtics, I mean.
Yeah, oh, definitely for the Celtics. I mean, I can't say definitely. I don't know for sure, but I do think that it's going to take an offer from a team. I know Zach Lowe has talked about this, like the Sacramento Kings, who are just kind of spinning their wheels and just looking for somebody to sell tickets for to their fans and would be willing to give up a lot of stuff for the future. But at the same time, if you're Brad Stevens, you're sitting there and you're going, like, I think the goal right now is just to free up some space so that you can re-sign at least one of your free agent bigs in Cornette or Horford.
So you can discuss 617-779-7937. We've talked Red Sox, we've talked Bruins. Let's get more into the Celtics and their offseason. Anfernee Simons, is he a piece that the Celtics want to keep around? Or is he a piece they're looking to flip to re-sign? The names Mego just mentioned, Al Horford and Luke Kornet. Plus, the idea that Jaylen Brown and Derek White could still be on the move. Let's dive deeper into that right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.